News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Now, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not have seen and give analysis on some of those that you have, I'm joined by the chair of the European Housing Advisory Board and, of course, former Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. And we start with the story which, at this point, is so redolent of deja vu, you could do it every week for the last year. Further delays to the National Children's Hospital.
Yeah, Conall Thomas is writing about it in the Indo, and children's, it's like we're children of a bad marriage, you know, in a sense where you're constant bickering, constant fighting.
Between BAM and the minister.
Between BAM and the government and the state. And it's been going on for a long time, and it will come to an end. We will have a hospital that we can be proud of, I'm sure of that. But it is interminable. And I suppose the real tragedy, or not tragedy, but the real problem is just how long it has taken. I mean, it is, and it's not just that there's been snags, which is what the problem is now. You know, how do you sign off in a room? Is it finished? Is it ready to go? But going right back, it was originally meant to go in the Mater Hospital. And that was turned down for planning reasons because they thought it might have been too high. And I'm thinking, God, we could have done with it in the Mater. It would have been built 10, 15 years ago. But anyway.
Oh, possibly more. I mean, that whole Mater site debacle rumbled on for the guts of nearly 2 decades.
And then there was a 10-year row, but should it be in James's or should it be out in James Connolly Memorial? And it's just a really bad example of the state not getting its act together to
deliver. There's then questions to be asked about the design choices. As beautiful as the architectural end result may be, the decision to build an ovoid donut does increase complexity somewhat.
Yeah, I still think that in 50, 20, 10 years' time, we'll be thinking, God, isn't this a fantastic facility? And I think it'll be the right decision to build it and all the cost overruns, all the rounds.
Yeah, but we might also like to think 20 years ago, this is a very good facility and it's physically open.
That's why my biggest regret is that the first call in doing this, which was in the height of the recession, we could have built it very cheaply because we would have been built it back just around the financial crash when no one was building anything. You would have got it for half the price. That's my biggest regret. We need to finish the snags. We need to open the hospital. That won't be until October now. But as I said, it's been and particularly between BAM and the state in this instance, it has not been a happy relationship.
Do you hold out much hope for there being significant changes to how we procure things in future? Because there are either of two options. Either we procured the wrong company to do it, or we procured the right company and gave them the wrong set of instructions, both of which are the state's fault.
I think the state here got it wrong in that the original tender wasn't detailed enough and wasn't have real clarity. Have we learned lessons from that? I'd say we have. The risk is maybe down on the other side now that they were so nervous of not creating another children's hospital example that you're sending in files, you know, 2 feet thick of all every eventuality. We need to be fast, quicker. Speed is what's costing us money in infrastructure projects. And I think that's the primary lesson we need to learn.
Well, that brings us to our second story, which is relating to the speed of delivery of housing. Rural dwellers to be allowed to build a second one-off home under new rules. And this seems to be a sort of a suite of measures being considered to see, is there a way to speed rural housing development? Many of them fly in the face of what used to be seen as best practice. Things like allowing further to riven development, allowing access to Gaeltacht areas, all of the stuff that was once sacrosanct.
I think this is the government with a nod and a wink to rural constituency. We're looking after you here. We're going to loosen the rules. We're going to make it easier to build, baby build, wherever you want. And I can understand, and some of the cases they cite, you know, if you have look after a parent who's disabled to build a house nearby, you know, no one could argue against that. But the problem we have, the reason why we had rules to try to move away from just the proliferation of one-off housing is because firstly, our rural towns and villages are dying. They're empty. Are we going to just let our towns collapse and just all this beautiful 19th century market towns and just everyone lives out in the country, everyone drives everywhere? That's not good for
rural
Ireland.
I'm sure there will be people who will say, the fact that you don't allow me to live next door to my parents does not save the local town from dereliction.
I think it does, because we need to really incentivize building back in the center of those villages and towns, which was starting to happen. Second reason why it's a concern is because our waters are completely polluted and our wells are polluted. And we're often, a lot of people are suffering from that health pollution, because one-off housing inevitably brings the difficulty of how you manage wastewater. That's the second.
A decent septic tank isn't beyond the capacity of man this modern era, is it?
No, well, it's beyond in our country. country, we know from the history of septic tanks is that they do break down, that they do have problems. We have a fundamental problem. We've got really polluted waters. And then the other costs, it costs a huge amount to get electricity. Like, why is our electricity expensive? There's two main reasons. One is because we use gas, but the second reason is because we have to run wires everywhere. So there's loads of costs to society when you have this.
Now, hang on. I would put it to you that from a green perspective, if you were saying, look, somebody can live in rural Ireland, they can get out of the town, but thanks to hybrid working, there is more capacity for them not to commute and therefore not to use the car. You can put solar panels on the roof and they can be self-sustaining, and you can have a decent aerobic septic system that means they effectively are their own water treatment facility. They could be the absolute exemplars of good environmental policy.
Yeah, they could. There's no reason someone in rural Ireland now not to have an electric car because you can plug in very easily, whereas in urban areas that can be a challenge. Yeah, there are loads of examples which, and I can fully understand, you know, someone wanting to live in their own community, everyone understands it. But my fear is that throwing out the rules, which the government seems to be doing, is for political, popular reasons. It won't address the housing crisis, because the housing crisis is really the most acute form is in our cities. It will bring environmental problems. It will bring costs to the rest of society. And that's not a, it's not just a, there was a reason why we had the plan, the rules in place. The government are kind of with a nod and a wink are getting rid of them.
Conor Pope has a very interesting piece in the Irish Times today where he does a breakdown of some of the most expensive things in our world. And top of the list is children. According to the numbers crunched by the Irish Times through Conor Pope, the cost of a kid runs to the order of between 800 grand and a million.
Yeah, and I have the highest regard for Conor Pope, but I completely disagree with him in this article. And
he goes through all the, he breaks it down by category by category.
Well, I could go down through each one and show why I think it doesn't make sense. Can I say the first reason I don't is because I have a real concern. We have, what we're seeing at the moment across the world, in Ireland as well, is a collapse in the number of people having children. There's a dramatic reduction in the birth rate happening for a variety of complex reasons, and every person is up to decide for themselves whether that's, you know, the good thing or a bad thing. But there are huge pressures that may be also behind it. And if someone ended up at the end of their child-rearing period and said, God, I wish I'd have children, you'd say that was a real, we let this next generation down. And part of the kind of myth, which I don't think is true, is, oh, that it costs a fortune. Let's just start. I mean, going through each one, I mean, I'd only take one or two. First birth. The presumption that you're going to pay a consultant $9,000. I'm sorry.
Well, steady. He says you don't have to, but an awful lot of people do. Yeah, therefore, it is a cost.
But he's adding in because people have, because that's a self-perpetuating myth. Who are you under? You know, that kind of that incredibly ridiculous sexist question.
And but it's the presumption a reality of the, it is an, it's an actual cost incurred by people, whether or not they should do it. They do it.
Less and less will be doing it because we've changed the rules and now there's no benefit in terms of going private, in terms of care of the child and the mother. So that's nonsense. Secondly, baby kit. You know, that was it, total spend 5,000. That's utter nonsense because anyone knows who's had children. What's very quickly happens, you have a circular economy working in this country where you have a brother or a cousin or someone else who's just had a kid. They have a cot.
There's people making fortunes selling these modular yokes that have carbon car seats.
It.
And
you don't need
people
it.
Buy them.
No, you shouldn't. What you should do is go to someone you know who's just had a child who maybe might not have another. They've got the cot. That's the reality of having children. You can actually raise a child.
Grand
in
and a half on nappies alone.
Or this expectation. Yeah, okay, nappies you're going to pay, but the kind of the myth that it has to be expensive. That, you know, it has to be all the top costs. I don't think is the lived reality, and what it doesn't measure is the benefits. You know, the incredible benefits you have if you have a child, and I just think we need to start thinking about. Why is it that our population, our desire to have children is plummeting? It seems partly, I think, is because we've created this thing that it's incredibly expensive. And that doesn't have to be the case. You can do it without all that money being spent.
Eamon, thank you very much. Eamon Ryan there, former Green Party leader and chair of the European Housing Advisory Board. And if you want to see the breakdown of all of Conor Pope's numbers, he has them by category. So whether it be all of the kit that you need when the child comes home through to third level, through to second level, uniforms, birthdays, communions, yada, yada, yada. It is all there in the Irish Times. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106. Up.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.